This is Forecasting Innovation, the podcast by EUMETSAT. My name is Christina Bonanati, and together with EUMETSAT's chief scientist Paolo Ruti, we explore the frontiers of technology in satellite operations and weather science.
A very complex structure of interconnected neural networks that have been trained by different type of data sources, which make a specific foundation model capable to be used in a multiple applications. So not only on weather prediction, but it can be used also on seasonal prediction, or it can be used also on climate long-term simulation.
As we continue to integrate AI and machine learning into the weather forecasting, the landscape of weather prediction is evolving rapidly, promising a future where forecasts are more reliable, detailed, and timely. So what is the status quo? At which point in research are we? And where are the limitations? As private weather companies with strong IT capabilities invest more in AI and machine learning technologies, we're seeing some impressive developments. For instance, Pangu Weather, hosted on Huayi Cloud in China, it provides week-long forecasts, while Nowcastnet, a collaboration involving institutions in China and the University of California, offers precise six-hour predictions. Another notable development is Google DeepMind's Nowcasting model, developed in collaboration with the UK Met Office. This one uses generative radar data to predict weather patterns and has shown remarkable accuracy in predicting heavy rainfall. And at ECMWF, they are developing their own applications, as Florence Rabier explains.
So at the moment, what the community is building is these machine learning models that are based on reanalysis. And this is what we are building as well. We have our code AIFS for Artificial Intelligence Integrated Forecasting System, which relies on our ERA 5 reanalysis. So this is very much machine learning models that are trained to optimize the forecast quality at a few days range. This is the state of the art. We are also developing an embryo of a data simulation system with machine learning. So how can we use machine learning in data simulation? In the model as well, emulating some components. How could we start directly from observations? And this is something that is really very much at the research stage. And also we are working on ensembles. So machine learning models, for the time being, they were just the one-shot model, like the old deterministic forecast. What we know is that the value of the forecast is in ensemble mode to reproduce the probabilities of what's going to happen in the future because of the chaos of the atmosphere and the Earth system. So what we are developing now is a machine learning model run in an ensemble mode. We are testing a couple of different methods now. And so what we are planning for the next few years is that we will have an ensemble by machine learning model before the end of the year.
What we have seen, at least what some of our member states, they are now trying to develop and to analyze, is what are the skills of those models. And they are very good skills when you stay high in the atmosphere. Of course, when you get closer to the surface, then you maybe could have times to times some problems. And this is, of course, related also to the fact that you have much more difficulties to describe all the physical parameters close to the surface, like precipitation or surface fluxes. And of course, that's also probably some sort of future development where you will be able to integrate directly observations into the training phase and into the initial condition phase of those models, that additional measurements that are really targeting the first 1,000 meter of the atmosphere can be used and can actually improve that type of forecasts.
We will also progress in including observations in the process in the next couple of years. So including more observations in this process of the initial conditions and on how to train the machine learning model, starting directly from the observations. Our physical system is very much an Earth system. It is coupled between the atmosphere, the ocean, the land, the sea ice, etc. But the new machine learning models that we are developing are just representing the atmosphere until now. This is not enough. We believe that we should do the same. and have some components for the ocean, the land, and the sea ice that we have found out to be so important for the forecasting. So we are going to start developing some machine learning models for these other components. This can be done in particular in the context of Destination Earth, and then coupling the whole thing.
Imagine a digital twin of our planet Earth that simulates the Earth system, including weather and climate patterns, in unprecedented details. This is Destination Earth, an ambitious initiative by the European Union. With the help of advanced machine learning algorithms, scientists will be able to use this platform to better understand and predict weather events, access climate change impacts, and develop effective response strategies. In the last episodes of this podcast, we have learned about machine learning models that are used as emulators for specific problems. But if we want to move to more complex horizons and integrate more data and a more complex simulation of our whole planet Earth, the next step is to use foundational models.
Neural networks, they like regularity. They like using regular data in a very well-structured way. This is why reanalysis is a perfect solution at the beginning, because you provide already very well-structured data, very cleaned, very high quality, etc. This is very good to develop the emulators. Then if you want to move to a foundational model, you need to integrate a large amount of data, even larger than what we know at this stage. And this is much more difficult, of course, because you need much more data to train those models. And you need data not only for the atmosphere, but also for the ocean, for the land surface, for the cryosphere. And you need long time series of those data. And you want to integrate different typology of data, because you want to integrate crowd source of data, temperature coming from cars, temperature coming from citizen science. You want to integrate all this together with model data, output of weather forecast prediction, etc. So you start building a problem where you are losing a bit regularity in your data you want to integrate in this foundational model, because you will have sparse data, unstructured data, etc. So there are mathematical questions to be solved. But if you want to really have a foundational model, you will need to break this barrier and to move from regular type grid of data to unstructured grid. And this is probably the next frontier.
These large independent neural network models perform better in theory than models trained for specific applications. And they are more robust to unseen inputs. They can train on a very, very large number of different data sets, and they use a wide range of simulations and reanalysis for training at different timescales and different resolution, as well as with different observations. So by doing that, they learn the very complex correlations between data set, and an Earth system model, then foundation model, could provide a physical representation of the Earth system state and the dynamics with more fidelity. So this is a very ambitious program that we're working on in parallel. It will not deliver something operational in the next couple of years, but this is something we have to continue to work on.
A foundational model is a large-scale machine learning model, which is trained on a large, broad data set using different type of data. And so it has a series of characteristics. So first of all, versatility. So it's not designed for one single task, but for multiple tasks. So it can be generalized. And so it has wide applicability. And it can be pre-trained or fine-tuned. So you have first a pre-train on large data set, and then you fine-tune on specific areas with the specific data sets. Let's make an example, which brings us a little bit more on understanding what it is. And let's start with a difference between an emulator and a foundational model. So if you have, as an example, the ECNWF machine learning AIFS, probably this one is emulating the full weather prediction global model. And probably it is a big emulator, because it's tasked to emulate what is weather prediction, medium-range weather forecast model. If you start adding additional data sets and you fine-tune this AIFS model on a regional scale, so you start to go from global to regional, probably you start building a foundational model, or you start moving towards a foundational model, because you have additional data set and you fine-tuned your big model that you already have your global scale training, but now you are training, fine-tuning on the regional scale. And so it's becoming multitasking, wide applicability, and so you are going towards a foundational model. Another example is what recently Microsoft issued as a foundational model called Aurora, which was trained on both large data set from the reanalysis, plus also the output of the ECNWF European Commission Copernicus service on atmospheric composition, called for the friend nickname CAMS. So that Aurora model for Microsoft was trained on both data sets, so one for global weather prediction and one for air quality chemistry prediction. So integrating both, you start having a foundational model, or a kind of foundational model, where you have wide applicability, versatility, and generalization, because you start having with the same tool answering different questions.
And how is the Aurora model trained?
So you first pre-train a large amount of neural networks weights, billions of parameters, using high resolution forecasting of weather and atmospheric processes. So you are using reanalysis, but you are using also climate simulations from all existing different climate simulations from different climate models. And so you are training on not one single source of data, which would be your reanalysis, as has been done for the previous examples on weather prediction like Pangu weather or GraphCast, but you pre-train on a large different type of data sets coming from reanalysis, long-term climate simulations. And then you optimize this pre-train model with additional data coming from high-resolution operational model and from the CAMS, the nickname for our air quality global atmospheric model. You fine-tune this pre-trained model and you start having a very complex and a heterogeneous system that can answer different tasks. If you want, if your brain has dedicated part of it that works for analyzing and providing a short overview of a text while you are reading a text, or part of your brain that is analyzing images or what is surrounding around and is so dynamic, so you have people, cars moving, and you have another part of your brains that is tasked to analyze this type of dynamics. So this is the way for a large neural network system to become a foundational model.
So it sounds like these models are already quite advanced in their development. What do you think? When will the Aurora or the foundational models be operational?
That's a very difficult question. I don't think there's an answer today. We have a pre-operational streams at the moment. So we already have ECNWF advancing and running parallelly to their big system, big emulators, and they are producing basically forecast as their large-scale physical model. But this is a pre-operational, and it's the question is, what is it for? What type of improvements will bring? I think there are some possible future lines of operations that have been Florence already mentioned, like ensemble prediction. So you can generate a large amount of ensemble predictions, or you can generate forecast every 10 minutes if it's needed instead of every 6 hours. You can have other applications into the operational stream. So you can try to generate ensembles out of a one deterministic simulation, or you can use machine learning to just be a hybrid component of your physical models. And today we are experimenting, exploring to find the best solution. It depends on what are the user requirements in specific areas. So what is really needed to be improved in the next 2-3 years into the global prediction. And I think we are in a situation where maybe it's still useful to explore, because as soon as you generate an operational stream, you are actually putting a lot of boundaries to it. So I think I would say at the moment, it's very interesting what's happening, and the exploration phase is still going on.
Now let's look at all this from the end user perspective. Physics-based models have seen remarkable improvements over the years. Like today's 6-day forecasts are as accurate as 5-day forecasts were a decade ago. With the introduction of machine learning now, we expect to see much bigger advancements in weather prediction accuracy in the coming years. So let's hear what Paolo Ruti anticipates for the future.
So if you are a citizen that has to face a day-to-day problem related to weather, I would say that one promising activity in the near future, so for the next 2-3 years, will be the integration of a different source of data and information into the nowcasting prediction. Nowadays, we have machine learning nowcasting model. Nowcasting is for the next 2-3 hours. And you have a lot of applications in that area, especially when you have extreme weather events, flooding or localized storms producing a lot of rainfall in one specific valley, and that could be very disruptive. So those type of models, they are very useful. At the moment, there are machine learning models, very good. But in the future, what will be optimal will be the integration with new data that today we don't have. So soon we will have every 20, 30 minutes sounding of the atmosphere. So information on the instability, what you can't see. If you already see rainfall, there's something already happened. If you don't see anything, but you see in the atmosphere the possibility for a specific area to become unstable, so that is an important information that you can integrate into the nowcasting model. So satellite data from the future generation of geostationary sounder that's hopefully will be soon launched, it's extremely important. And that will be one area of improvement for the people living, especially in mountain regions or in valleys where extreme weather events can be disruptive. The nowcasting area is very important because it's where you have a combination of observations and modeling. You need an integration of different tools and different data. And this is where machine learning is so powerful, because you don't have one single model that is really powerful and from the initial condition starting to predict very well what's happening in the next 20, 30 minutes or 45 minutes. At the beginning, all the physical models, they have a problem into the spin-up initial phase, so the few hours. So this is why into the nowcasting, we use a combination of tools. And this is where machine learning can be very powerful, can flexibly integrate different type of data, so satellites, radar data, but also other type of radar, like the mobile network is setting the antenna power depending on the rainfall rate. And if you have those data on real time, you have additional source of information on very local instabilities that they are developing and generating rainfall. Or you can have other type of data that you can integrate, which is also from crowdsourced data from social media, etc. So you have a very large amount of data that can become really interesting to be integrated. So at the moment, we are focusing on the geophysical type of data, but still there, we have a lot of possibilities to integrate. And machine learning, they are very good integrators. So this is why I think this is a very promising area.
Thanks for joining us for this last episode of Forecasting Innovation. And we would also like to thank Florence Rabier and ECMWF for their valuable contributions. Mm-hmm.